So it's all over Twitter today. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the film Me Before You, or as campaigners put it last night, disabled campaigners at the premiere of the film Me Before Euthanasia. It's Inside Out. I'm Damon Rose. With me is Emma Tracy.
Hello.
And Kathleen Hawkins.
Hello.
And on the phone is Mick Scarlett, broadcaster. Hello. What are we calling you? Broadcaster.
Broadcaster, journalist, and inclusion expert.
Inclusion expert. Mild irritant.
Mild irritant, yes, that's it, yeah.
Now, you're going to help us get through this a bit. We want to dig into this a little bit more deeply.
Okay.
Why are people so upset? First of all, tell us what it's all about, Mick.
Well, I mean, the book itself and then the film is kind of meant to be, it's being billed as a love story.
This is, yeah, Jojo Moyes' book, now turned into a film.
About a paralysed man who falls in love with his carer, or companion, as she's called in the book and in the film. Yes, right. And then after 6 wonderful months of bliss together, he decides he can't take life as a disabled man and goes to Dignitas to die. And part of the reason why is to free her from the burden of loving him and to let her go off with someone who doesn't need care and who isn't disabled.
Okay, we can tell you this is loaded already, isn't it? We can hear which point of view you're taking here, Mick. There's been loads of films around disability. Why is this film causing upset today?
Well, part of it is basically it's the straw that broke the camel's back, he says, ha-ha, using a turn of phrase that might get me in the sun again. But I think the basic thing is that so many Hollywood films don't get disability. They paint it as this terrible tragedy that it's a rational choice to want to die if you are disabled. Now, for me, it's very personal. When I became a wheelchair user at the age of 15, I spent quite a long while in hospital. And when I came out, there were many things I couldn't do. And one of them was get an erection. And I immediately thought, well, that's it. Life's over. I'm never going to find love. I'm never going to have sex. I'm never going to be able to go to a nightclub. All the things I thought I wouldn't be able to do. So I considered suicide. I got ready. I was about to do it. And I only didn't go through with it because I realised that because I was still living at home, my body would have been found by my parents, which I didn't want to do. I didn't want them to have to suffer that terrible trauma of finding me. So I thought, well, I'll find another way of doing it. Now, that's quite difficult when you are paralysed, especially, you know, if you're as paralysed as the character in this film is.
Who's quadriplegic, isn't he?
Yes, he is quadriplegic. So then, for me, what I did was I waited to try and think of a new way. And while I waited, life got in the way. Things got better. I made friends. I started going out. I am lucky. I have use of my arms. I took up a musical instrument. I became a musician. I joined a band. I started playing live, which then led to me touring with, you know, major rock acts, which then led to me becoming a TV presenter, which then led to me meeting... all the way through this, I had a sort of a succession of girlfriends. I finally met the woman who I am now married to and who I love deeply.
Right. So you've had a good life, is what you're telling us here.
What I'm saying is I didn't grow up in a society that told me that that was possible. Because without being funny, before my generation, it wasn't really. Ian Dury was there, yes, and we had Ironside on the telly. But really, disability was really invisible. There wasn't. You didn't know that you could have a great future.
So Ian Dury was a disabled rock star.
Yep.
Now, sadly, no longer with us. Ironside was a detective who was in a wheelchair.
Yes, that's it. And he, if anything, I would say that something like Ironside probably helped me realise that there was a possibility for me, because otherwise I wouldn't have known, because it's not something you saw in the media at all. However, we move forward now. We are now talking 35 years ago. You would think that the stereotype that disability leads to the end of the quality of your life, that you can no longer build a wonderful life, would have gone, but it hasn't.
Yeah, but, okay, so we have no one here to represent the film today, so I'm going to be doing that for them, okay?
Poor thing.
What the director, Thea Sharrock, has said about this is that there are no absolutes. So she's talking about the story she's been telling in the film, okay? There are no absolutes, and there are things that often happen, she says. So why can't we have a diversity of stories, Mick? You know, you had your story. What's wrong with telling this story?
You've hit the nail on the head, Damon. Why can't we have a diversity of story? Where's my story? Where's all the story of people like you, the first blind TV producer? Where are they? We don't get them. All we ever get is this story. The story that disability is the end, that it is a terrible thing, that there is nothing worse than this. That this guy, he doesn't get, this guy is rich. He lives in a massive house. He has all of the stuff he might ever need to make sure that he is fully cared for. He has a beautiful girlfriend who he falls in love with. So, quite frankly, if he is miserable, then he's a miserable git.
Does he, though? And does he have... Is this it's more... Not,
we're going to have to just ride roughshod over you, Mick. We can hear the passion in your voice. Go on, Catherine.
Does he have all of the support that he needs? Is there any comment in this film or in the book about lack of mental health support for people that become disabled or paralysed?
Is that what's happening is we are having this decision painted as a rational one, whereas actually when I considered suicide, I was mentally ill. I was suffering from a massive depression caused quite sensibly by a huge change in my ability and my lifestyle and the proposed future I was going to live. So if this wasn't painted that this guy makes this decision and that it's a bold decision and he tells his lovely partner, live boldly, don't settle, right? If it was actually that we actually left the film broken, that this poor man had been left and not supported, then maybe it'd be fine. But that's not what's going to happen, is it? That's not the story. That's not how people are going to leave the cinema. They're going to leave the cinema thinking, oh, that man was so brave to take his life and let that go. The freedom that he's given her, what a wonderful gift. And this is why we're so upset, because we don't see, there hasn't been another film going, and then there's the other story about a man running off and being disabled.
So why are those stories not coming out then? Why haven't you written a top movie? Where are disabled writers? What's going on here? Why aren't these stories getting told? Are disabled people too lazy to write these stories?
No, the same reason. There are many disabled writers out there. The main reason why is because they don't write stories that conform to the stereotype of an able-bodied publishing industry, an able-bodied film industry, and more importantly, in this film especially, an able-bodied acting industry. No disabled actor would have played this role.
What do you mean no disabled people would have played
the role? I think that basically if a disabled actor had been given this role, the most disabled actors I know, anyway, would have questioned the entire characterisation. It would have been more troublesome than they were prepared to put up with.
Or would they have found a justification in order to help build their career? I think I might have done. I don't know.
No, because at the end of the day, when you're an actor, you have to find the character, don't you? You cannot have a non-disabled author writing a book that then gets turned into a film that is made by a non-disabled director with non-disabled producers and a non-disabled cast and get it right.
So Tia Sharrock, Mick, the director, said that they did look at, they spoke to some disabled actors and said they had, quote, limited options, and then went on to say that they weren't able to find somebody that the studio would want.
Rubbish. Absolutely. Yeah, studio want. That's something entirely different. But that's their lack of courage.
But that's in their industry, and from their point of view, that's a reasonable way to look at it. If they can't get somebody that's going to bring the punters in, it's not worth them making the movie. Therefore, the movie would never get made, which you would think would be a good thing.
Vicious circle.
Without being funny, in that case, let's just all give up, shall we, and not worry about making the world a more inclusive place. Let's just forget about equality and let's go. It's all the same. It can't change anything because people, it's too expensive and it's too difficult and everyone, oh, poor little things. Right? At the end of the day, if you can't find a disabled actor to play a disabled character, like this especially, who is disabled throughout, then you don't make the film. No one now would go, we've got this great role for a black guy and we're going to get a black actor. Oh, we can't find a black actor. Let's just paint a white bloke black. No one would do that, right? Now, we all know that Tilda Swinton has been cast as an Asian male in the forthcoming Doctor Strange film? And everyone is up in arms about that. Why is it that disabled people don't have the right to be upset, one, about yet again being played by someone who isn't a member of our community, but two, is yet again being portrayed, our lives are being portrayed as tragic and sad, and one of the obvious choices for us is to end our lives. We've got to challenge it, because at the moment, the whole debate around assisted suicide is so impassioned, and so many non-disabled people feel that disabled people should have the right to do something that they don't want just because of impairment, that it is really troubling. as a quite a passionate anti-assisted suicide campaigner, this is the reason why I'm against it. Not because I think people that have got terminal illnesses shouldn't have the right, but because I know that society will do the slippery slope, that it will be applied to people who are not terminal, but who are disabled. And once you say a guy with a broken neck should have the right, then you say, well, shouldn't a guy with a broken back have the right? And then someone like me isn't here. Because I would have taken that route at 15, and that would mean that I didn't have the life I would have had. And if we don't know that we're going to have that life, then we'll take a choice without being informed.
Well,
and that's my long tirade on that.
The book and the movie, though, everybody else in his life really doesn't want him to do... I haven't seen the film, but I have read the book. Really does not want him to do it. Really doesn't... Is it the marketing of it that is... Does the marketing make it even worse, in your opinion, than you felt about it before you saw the marketing?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I think
the Live Boldly thing, because I don't remember the Live Boldly coming out so strongly in the book.
No, exactly. Well, this is it. One of the things is that, like I said, it's a domino effect, isn't it? You've got a non-disabled author who writes it, but who tries in her way to make it more inclusive. But then it gets swallowed up by the Hollywood machine. So then you've got a whole room of non-disabled people making a film about disability. Then you give it to actors. Now, I'm a member of the Deaf and Disabled Members Committee of Equity, right? And we represent all of the deaf and disabled members of Equity, and that's the Actors Union. So I know how many talented disabled and deaf actors.
How many? How many? What number?
Well, there's more than a few thousand. So, you know, when you say, oh, we can't find anyone. And also, without being funny, you do talent searches. So you go to spinal injury centres. They went to spinal injury centres apparently to do some research, but they didn't actually go there to go, right, we've got to find someone to play the role. So, but anyway, and...
Yeah, the actor Sam Claflin went to a spinal injury centre.
Yeah. He went to a rehab centre, didn't he? See, this is another thing that troubles me. Because what he did was he went to meet people who are still getting used to who they are. So they're still in the throes of the grieving for the person they used to be.
Yeah, he went to inform his role and learn how to look.
He went to inform his role by meeting people who haven't built a life.
But so is the character. The character's in that position. The character is newly injured and clearly the whole way through the book grieving for his old life and very, very, you know, can't move forward into a new life. And maybe that's because he doesn't have the right support. Maybe because he's not...
Stereotypical. I mean, I stopped going for lots of auditions because I continually got offered roles of disabled man, suicidal, disabled man, depressed. The best one, of course, I also kept getting sent for disabled man who wants his wife to leave him because he can't give her what she needs anymore. And this is what the media, the writers, the film industry perpetuates. And the problem is that this film is massive and it's aimed at a young audience. So it's saying to people who have not had their opinions fully formed, right? This is a sensible thing. This is great. This guy is so brave and so wonderful. And you should love him. And don't forget, he's a great actor and you all fancy him. And isn't it? It's so passionate. And what we're not, and all we're trying to do is say, hang on, can we please have the other side of the story? Can we please, for once, listen to us? Listen to the people who have lived this. Don't listen to a load of people who just made it up.
But maybe, I mean, the director has said that she wants the film to make people pause and reflect on the real value of life. And this, you know, maybe you're devaluing.
No, I'm sorry. Basically, she said on television only last night at the premiere, this is about autonomy and allowing people the right to choose to live or die. And it was like, yeah, great, fantastic. But can we please actually have some truth in there? Can we please have some experience of real disabled people? I mean, apart from anything, how many disabled people live in a castle? Do you know what I mean?
How many people live in a castle?
There you go. It's not a representative story, is it? It's not an everybody story. Why would people take away the message that...
Play devil's advocate, Damon, but to me, it's completely ridiculous. You're validating an argument that is pointless and stupid. Because what you're saying is, it's not real, so it doesn't matter. Well, if we had a film that said, well, all blind people are weirdos, let's put them all down, you'd be pissed off.
Does it say all people? Does it represent all, does it all paralysed people?
Well, where are the other ones? Where are the other disabled? But this is what I mean. It's not, oh, it doesn't represent all. If it's the only time you ever see anyone, it does. It's all of the... Well, years ago, lots of my black friends used to say they got fed up with watching television and only ever seeing black people as murderers and pimps and and rapists and criminals, right? And that was because that wasn't their life, right? And then we moved on, and now we have Luther and we have black people. There can be all types of people. But yet for disabled people, time and time again, you don't see a disabled person just working in a bank. You don't see
well,
that.
Well, Izzy thingy in Coronation
Great.
Street
so
works
you can
in
name
a
them.
Works
so you
in a factory.
Name, you can name that.
Lisa Hammond's character in EastEnders is a market trader.
Yeah, you can.
You reckon it's one or two?
Don't
hands.
You understand that if you can name them, there's not enough of them. If you can name the few, if you can count them on your hands, there's not enough representation.
Liz Carr, silent witness.
Yeah, so scientist.
Yes, yeah, you're still
there's
counting.
Somebody
them.
Else in Vera.
You're still, yes, it's Lisa Hammond.
Ruth Madeley's going to be in the level. What did
you're
you say?
You're still counting them
all. It's Lisa Hammond again.
Oh, is it Lisa?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mick. We really appreciate your input.
Enjoy editing that humongous waffle.
Thank you. This has been Inside Ouch for this week. Have a good bank holiday. We're all going. We'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.